That was one of the best interviews in terms of dismantling and explaining the four phrases. This is like a college level course. This was great.
By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. Welcome to the Conscious Fertility Podcast with our guest today, Dr. Joe Vitale. Now, to start, I want to express a little bit of gratitude, first of all, for the opportunity to be interviewing someone whose teachings I've personally benefited from. And Dr. Joe, I've admired you for years. And also, a heartfelt thank you to my good friend and colleague, Dr. Peter Stapleton. Many of you may know her because she has a powerful episode on the Conscious Fertility Podcast. And just a big thank you for her, a big thank you for connecting us and making this conversation possible. Now, I'm very familiar with Dr. Joe Vitale. For you guys, I don't know if you are, so I'm going to give you a brief introduction. The introduction could probably take an hour for what he has done in his years of life. So I've conciseed it, and which means I had to edit out a lot because, again, he is a power for good. So today our guest is Dr. Joe Vitale. He is a globally renowned author, speaker, and spiritual teacher. Believe it or not, once homeless, Dr. Vitale has transformed his life to become a leader and a leading voice in personal development. He's the author of more than 80 books, including the bestseller, The Attractor Factor, Zero Limits. And I was going to say your most recent, Money Loves Speed, From Stress to Success, Revealing 8 Laws of Attracting Money. But you write so many. I don't know if that's your recent books. When we start talking, I'd love to know what your last book is. I think that was somewhere around 2020, that book. And you'll likely recognize Dr. Joe Vitale from his groundbreaking film that he was in, The Secret, where his insights on the law of attraction really helped bring this powerful concept into the mainstream of manifestation. And beyond his writing and speaking, Dr. Vitale is also a certified hypnotherapist. We share that. Metaphysical practitioner, and he's an accomplished musician. And he's the founder of the Miracles Coaching Program, helping people around the world clear mental blocks and manifest their highest potential. Now he's going to add a movie to his list. So hopefully you're going to tell me a little bit about that as well. So if you're ready, let's dive into this beautiful conversation. He's also known as Mr. Fire, Dr. Joe Vitale.
Thank you for that warm introduction. It's great to be here. Been looking forward to this moment. And again, thank you to our mutual friend for making the introduction. She's a sweetheart, doing great things, and I hear you are as well. So I'm glad to be here.
I appreciate that. And that's Peter Stapleton. Check out her podcast and check her out because she's also a power for good in this world. Now, Joe, we could talk about a lot of things because you talk about so much. And when I sum it up, I think you're here to help people have transformation, you know, heal those blocks and manifest or be the people they want to be in this world. I wanted to talk to you because of the book you wrote on Zero Limits. That was a big thing I wanted to get into. And we can talk about anything and everything. But I kind of wanted you to share a little bit about yourself, but the story behind Zero Limits, like why you wrote this book and what this is about. Seems like the shift is happening where people are realizing that peace and joy is an internal experience. It's from internal work. You got to do the inside job. And when I looked at Zero Limits, I think that's a big part of the message. And again, people want to process, you know, is there a little scientific approach to it? And when I read your book, I thought it was pretty simple, but not easy. Simple as anybody could do it. Easy is going to take discipline. I want to introduce the story behind it, the concepts. And then if, with your permission, I'm going to get really curious and ask a lot of questions about the steps, if you're okay with that.
I'm totally okay with whatever you want to ask me, of course. And Zero Limits is one of my most popular books. At this point, I've written over 90 books. Okay. And the most recent is called Zero Limits Living. So there's been a lot of books since Zero Limits, a lot of books since Money Loves Speed and some of the other ones you mentioned. Zero Limits, the book, came out, I think, in 2006. And it was about the same time that the movie The Secret was hitting the public. And then the book The Secret was also following up. And of course, I was in the movie, I'm in the book. Between you and me, though, I was losing interest in the law of attraction because I had already graduated and gone beyond it. And where I had gone was into this world of Zero Limits, which has become my quest and my brand and the name of the movie that I have coming out. So back then, I had heard this story of a therapist who helped heal an entire ward of mentally ill criminals at a state hospital in Hawaii. And the punchline was he didn't actually work with them directly. He worked on himself with a bizarre healing technique that nobody could explain to me. I had never heard of before. And as he worked on himself and he felt better and got to a place of serenity, or what we might call inner peace or happiness, the outer world reflected it, including those criminally ill patients who had to be shackled or sedated on a daily basis because they were so dangerous. They started to get better. And when I heard that story, the first thing I did was dismiss it because I thought, that can't be true. That has to be an urban legend. I believe in magic and miracles. I believe in all kinds of things that could happen. But to work on yourself and heal mentally ill criminals in a state hospital for the criminally insane? No. And at that point, of course, there was nothing about him or that story or that technique online. It was underground, and I thought it was an urban legend. But the long story short is I dug deeper. I hired a private investigator. I found that therapist. I met the therapist. I worked with the therapist. We did 3 events together. I knew him for 10 years, and we co-authored the first book. And that's the book called Zero Limits. Zero Limits tells the story with his help. Plus, I interviewed social workers and people who had been at the hospital during that time period. And we reveal the method he was using. And as you know, it's called Ho'oponopono, which I couldn't even pronounce the first time I heard it, let alone try to spell it, let alone understand it. But it's called Ho'oponopono, and it's a Hawaiian word that means to make right. And what are you making right is your mindset, your perceptions of what you're looking out into the world and calling a problem. That's the beginning of the story. And I'll pause to see where you want to go with it from there.
Yeah. So we got to unpack this and say this again.
Yeah.
All the patients that had diagnosed mental illnesses, being sedated or shackled, so many of them criminals or all of them criminals, I'm not sure, but they were institutionalized because not safe to be out in society. He worked on them, but he did not meet them or work on them. He has their file. And he experiences something as he reads their files, and then he does this work to cleanse, heal himself. So first question I have is, when he's reading the files, is it because it's triggering something inside of him, or has he got some special empathic that he's connecting to the patient? Like, is it like he's reading that somebody ripped somebody and it's causing anger inside him? So he realized, hey, I got to clean up this anger now because I'm experiencing anger when I read this file. I was just curious of that aspect. If I'm going to go with it, that was the aspect of what's happening to him. Why is it happening to him that he has this opportunity to clean it up from reading somebody's medical file?
I think anybody that would have visited that ward in the state hospital in Hawaii would have been triggered. Meaning that just walking up and down the hall and knowing that everybody in there, except people paid to be there, are violent and unpredictable. And they're being shackled or sedated because they could do anything at any time. It's a dangerous place. And you know that everybody in there has done something to get them in there. In some cases, it is, as you mentioned, it was some sort of assault, or it could have been murder. There was a wide variety of very intense, dramatic, traumatizing experiences that most of those people caused. So just being there, you're going to respond. And when Dr. Hu Len, which is the name of the therapist, Dr. E. Haleakala Hu Len, just call him Dr. Hu Len or just call him Dr. Len, he explained that he would look at their charts, the inmates' charts. So he would read what they had done, what they were in there for, what their crime was, what their penalty was. And as he looked at it, he'd have a trigger. He'd have a response, just like you would probably have. I would certainly have, knowing myself. And this is where most people stop. They have the trigger, and now they're mad. Now they're scared. Now they're angry. Now they're embarrassed. Now they want to run. This is why so many people that worked at that hospital quit. They couldn't stand the environment. They were being triggered, and they went for the closest door and left. most of us stop at the trigger. Mm-hmm. What Dr. Hulin was doing was allowing the trigger to bring up all the emotion, all the feelings, all the mental chatter, all the judgments, because that's what he wanted to focus this technique on. He wasn't focusing the technique on inmates. He was focusing the technique on triggers in him. It wasn't a matter of who was triggering him. It was a matter of there's a trigger alive in me. I need to disconnect it. And that's what he's using Ho'oponopono on, to disconnect the trigger to achieve that inner serenity, that inner peace, what some people might call happiness.
Mm-hmm. So in my practice, conscious work through my teachers, you know, there's this concept of to get out of victim mode, right? Conscious work is about accountability and responsibility. We've heard some of the sayings out there. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. Being accountable and responsible does not mean blame. You're not blaming other. You're not blaming self, right? There's four steps. So one of them is I'm sorry. And I love the language because I often share that we just thank the trigger. The trigger's there to bring up what I need to work on. The fact that you're feeling it is all you need to know why you have, it's your job to work it. There's a poem that goes around about what's in your coffee cup. What if you put in your coffee cup? If somebody bumps your elbow and you spill out coffee, if you had water in it, you spill out water. The person who bumped your elbow didn't cause what's in you to spill out. You put that in there. They caused the spill, but what's in there is what you put in. And so it kind of connected things in my brain where, yes, when something happens, and if you are activated by it, that's all you need to know, that it's your responsibility, because things are happening around you all the time, bad things, good things, and there's no visceral response. You don't feel anything. That means it's not yours to work. But if anything can bring up an emotional or something in the body, a visceral feeling up, then it's in you. I don't know how it came in there. I don't know if it's transgenerational from grandparents. I don't know if it's a collective. But the mere fact that this frequency, this vibration stuck inside you is, don't take it personally, yet it's your responsibility to clean it up. That's what I got from my I'm sorry. And I'd love for you to now talk about I'm sorry and build on that. I'm curious how we're going to do this conversation, how you're going to share it, where, you know, you got to dance between our society says this is wrong, and then there's a much bigger quantum spiritual aspect to this opportunity to heal.
Mm-hmm. Big questions, deep questions, and a short amount of time to address all of this. I think it's important for people to realize that whatever they are feeling in response to that trigger, it's not their fault, but it is their responsibility.
I like that. Can you say that again? Because that is key.
It is very key. And in short, it's not your fault for what you're seeing, what you're feeling, what the trigger happens to be, but it is your responsibility, meaning you are at a place where you can clean it up. It's not your fault that it happened. Nobody's blaming you. You're not guilty. This is one of the biggest concepts that people wrestle with when they first read Zero Limits or they hear about Ho'oponopono. They don't want to take responsibility for anything that's going on because they feel like it's blame. And as you pointed out, it's not about blame. Nobody's saying you are wrong or did wrong or need to be punished or you are guilty in any way, shape, or form. But you are responsible for what you are feeling right now. So when Dr. Hulin is working with those patients by sitting in his office and looking at their charts and he's being repulsed or he's being angry, he has to take responsibility and did for what he was feeling. We don't know the story behind any of this. We don't know how the alignment of all the energies of the world created this cosmic connection where he's in a mental hospital being the so-called therapist to these people who are determined to be and have been diagnosed as criminally ill and needing to be shut off and shut away. We don't know any of that, but you don't need to know any of that. You don't need to know the story to heal the feeling.
Yeah, if you have the feeling, work it. And the language I use around that is this is an opportunity. This is a huge opportunity because this has been stuck inside of you. And every time life bumps up against that old program, then that feeling comes up. And if you deny it, suppress it, project it out, it gets stuck in there and you just keep experiencing it. And this book and your process, I've brought it into, I have a process I call notice, accept, choose again. And everybody I learn from, I can see how it was one of those, you know, some people get downloads. I wouldn't call it a download, but it was a big aha moment. So maybe it was a download where I realized what everybody's doing is notice, accept, choose again. And I have all these tools that go into it. Your process, again, took it to another level for me. So thank you for writing this book.
My pleasure.
And even today, you know, you start to walk and you're daydreaming and I'm thinking about something going on in the world events and I'm getting really pissed off and angry. And then I think about this. I'm like, oh, I got anger inside me. You know, geez, I'm a ragey guy today. I better go work on my anger because the risk is you can start to think outside is the fault and I'm justified for my anger. Look, intellectually, what I'm seeing outside, my judgment is it's not right. The anger, though, like you said, there's your free will. I get to choose how I feel. And the fact that I feel all this rage and anger, I don't have to get into my head and think about it. I get into the heartfelt, the body now, and I use tools such as your tools that we're going to talk about to help me metabolize these things, release them so they're no longer gunking up my body system.
Early on, when Dr. Hulen and I were spending time together, I was living in Texas at the time. He was living in California, and he would fly to Texas and spend time with me. And I had put him in a hotel room for a while, actually a cabin in the woods, so he can really relax. And I left him alone, and then a few hours later, I came back to see how he was, pick him up for dinner, and I asked what he had been doing. I was just making conversation. And he said he was watching TV, which kind of surprised me. I thought maybe he's going to be meditating in his room. But he's watching TV, and I said, oh, out of curiosity, what were you watching? And I thought it might be a movie or something entertaining. And he said, no, I was watching the news. I was appalled. Because I was telling people one of the best ways to find peace in your life is turn off the mainstream news. Turn it off. And here, my guru, my teacher, my hero, my mentor is saying, I'm in the room watching the news. And I said, why are you watching the news? Because I was really curious. And he says, I'm allowing it to trigger me so I can clean. And that was a profound shift because he was welcoming the trigger as an opportunity for a healing. Now, let's keep going here for a second, because when I say this story, it's like, oh, that's profound. He's actually using reality to trigger himself, and he's using the opportunity of the trigger to heal himself. That's very wise. That's very practical. We can all learn from that. There's one step more. His philosophy, we'll put it this way, his philosophy, and in the tradition of Ho'oponopono, which is the methodology he was practicing and teaching to me, and I wrote about it in Zero Limits, in that philosophy, when you clean the trigger in you, you help clean it out of humankind. And this is huge, because it means your personal work that you're doing on yourself, the cleansing you're doing, the healing you're doing, the clearing you're doing, these are all variations of describing the experience of erasing the trigger. As you erase it in you, you erase it in the world. Now, this is not just an individual experience. Now it's an ideal. Now you're the Gandhi of the population. Now you are healing the planet by healing yourself.
Yeah, and the conscious work, as I've been taught and I share, is when you heal, your whole constellation heals. So, and my patients have seen this, people experience this. When you do your work, all of a sudden, your partner shifts, or what's going on, your children shift, or work, like things start to shift all around you, and especially in your sphere. And today, at the time of this recording, how people sometimes are perceiving the world, a lot of fear, anxiety, and judgment on what we're seeing in the world. Again, rather than going out and trying to fix the outside world, go in and clean yourself. And then we're Wi-Fi, and your Wi-Fi is changing. So you're putting out a different vibration, different signal. And if we hit that critical mass, we'll probably see a shift in the external world. When I see the world, which I don't love right now. However, I take responsibility. I look at the world and I go, wow, there's a lot of shit going on inside Lauren Brown. Because if I'm perceiving it this way, and that's what I subscribe to, then I'm wearing a lens. And so my lens is seeing the world this way. So I got a lot of cleaning to do, Joe. It's basically what I'm saying, because I see the world this way.
Well, let's unpack this a little bit here and make sure everybody gets the message. Go back to Dr. Hulen working at the hospital for the criminally insane, sitting in a chair, looking at the files of the mentally ill criminals, cleaning himself on the triggers that are coming up so he can achieve some level of inner serenity. And as he did that, those patients got better. This is what is so miraculous and remarkable and can't be said enough. As he cleared himself, the people around him also got healed. This is why in about 4 years working at that hospital, virtually every one of those inmates, all shackled, all sedated in the beginning, were no longer being shackled, no longer being sedated, most of them being pronounced as healed, normal, and being released back into society. How did that happen? He worked on himself. And as you pointed out, the Wi-Fi signal changed. The Wi-Fi that went to the hospital and the inmates in there affected them.
And to explain this, you have to go out of the materialistic Newtonian science of linear and we're separate and go more into that quantum where it's beyond space and time and go into non-duality, which is a whole other conversation. But there is a science to explain this. A science to explain this. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But we also have to get past our own mental beliefs about how the world works. I'm the guy who, for the longest time, I've been saying we live in a belief-driven universe. You change your beliefs, you get a very different universe. Yeah. As you do Ho'oponopono on yourself, on those triggers that you think are just in you and are caused by the outer, you change the inner you, which changes your beliefs, which sends out, using the secret terms, law of attraction, high vibe kind of energy. Everything's changed because the beliefs have changed. And the world recreates itself. You end up with an entirely new life experience because you change the internal you. This is so huge. We're jumping into the deep level here. And I'm sure all of your listeners are probably used to it because you're that kind of a deep thinker. But I want people to realize, look, you change yourself with something like Ho'oponopono, and you change everything around you. When people look out into the world and they say, well, it's shitty or it's scary or it's dangerous, you're looking through your perceptions. There are other people looking at the same world in the same situation, and they don't think it's shitty, scary, or dangerous. They're looking at the same world.
The same world, and some people see it and they go, oh, break down before breakthrough. Look what's happening. But you said the key word, perception, right? And their beliefs, their programs. So when there's a perception shift, you experience the world how you perceive it. I often say you wear a lens, you know, your subconscious lens. That's how you see it. Your colleague from The Secret, another Joe by another name, Joe Dispenza, he often says your personality determines your personal reality. If you take the current personality into the future, you're going to get the same reality. So you're saying, hey, change your perception, do the Ho'oponopono work, you change. And all of a sudden, your lens changes. You have a new perception, which means you have a new experience of the world. I love it. How do you call it? It's a belief universe. What was your term?
Belief-driven universe. I'll go one step further, and I've been saying this a lot. The world is an optical illusion. The world you get is based on your subconscious/unconscious beliefs. And I have so much evidence for this. I'm writing another book, which shouldn't surprise anybody.
It does surprise me.
Right. And in that book, I talk about two very massive, detailed, scholarly, university press books. One argues that we have free will, and boy, is it convincing. The other one argues we do not have free will, and boy, is it convincing. And I think, what a great example. You got for free will, you got against free will, and both of them have overwhelming arguments. Which one do you choose? And my experience has been, when you create this new belief system in yourself, the world rearranges itself and brings you all the evidence, books, authorities, reports, studies, scientists to support your new belief system.
Yeah, agreed. All the synchronicities start to happen. Loving this. Please forgive me is step two. So I'd love for you to explain it. And I'll share with you that I never liked that word to forgive, because again, there's like all of a sudden there's guilty. I must have done something wrong, right? Mm-hmm. And in my process, notice, accept, a big part of it is accepting myself for the person who feels this way or did. Like, doesn't mean we're condoning it. It's just accepting it, because I don't want to fight with reality. When I fight with reality, I create resistance. I suffer. I want to bring the resistance down And so I've never been a fan of, you know, having to, you know, saying sorry, right? I'm a fan of taking accountability, responsibility, but sorry means guilt a lot of times, this forgiveness. So can you, which is not what this means in the right. book, but I, right. when I first read that, I was like, uh-oh. And then I was like, oh, good. So can you go into for please forgive me, which is another step of the four steps.
Yeah, the two things that are very similar are the statements, I'm sorry, and please forgive me. And what I point out is neither one of them have anything to do with guilt or punishment or blame. It's basically an admittance of unconsciousness. And my example is when you go to a store, you're shopping for bananas or whatever you went to the store to get. And it's fairly crowded there, and you're looking and you're sizing whether the bananas are bruised or too green or what. And you turn and you bump into somebody. And you say, quite naturally, I'm sorry. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It doesn't mean you're going to get arrested. You say, please forgive me. And if you're really polite, then go the extra mile there. I'm sorry and please forgive me are basically statements saying, I was unconscious. I don't even know what happened there. I didn't even see you. I didn't mean it. There's no guilt. There's no punishment. You're not getting arrested. You're not getting whipped. Nothing's going to happen. But you are admitting that, you know, I was so focused on the bananas, I missed the people that were in the moment. Huh. Sorry. Please forgive me. Very neutral. But they're important statements because we have to admit we're living out of our beliefs. We're basically in hypnotic trances all the time. You know, there are various hypnotic trances. I was in a homeless trance for a while. I was in poverty trance for 10 years trying to wake up on my own. But I'm in a trance trying to awaken from my trance. It's like, you know, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I was doing my best.
So again, it's making the unconscious conscious. This goes into my process of notice, except you talked about everything's neutral. My step of notice is notice everything that happens is neutral, and then we give it meaning. We're meaning makers, yes. And the meaning we give it is through the lens of our subconscious.
Excellent.
And so please forgive me is another idea of, you know, accepting that you're unconscious, not beating yourself up, just like, oh my God, I was unconscious. And as soon as you notice you're unconscious, the healing can begin, right?
Yes, that's and, exactly right.
And now you have an opportunity to make the unconscious conscious, and now continuing the process to I use the word for healing, metabolize or digest these yes. old programs that don't serve you, or these feelings that are really feel really dark and uncomfortable inside your body. So again, you're not asking for forgiveness in the sense that we use the word. You're mm-hmm. just acknowledging, oh, I was unconscious and now I'm conscious. Like, you know, please keep me awake, I guess, in a sense. Please forgive me for please forgive me for going unconscious, for getting the truth of who I am.
Well, you're really saying it to yourself. You're really saying it to yourself. You're talking to, and this is important. We need to get to this point at some point. So you might as well do it now. You're talking about these as four steps here, and you've talked about two of them with the I'm sorry and please forgive me. Who are you saying these to? When Dr. Hulen was in his chair at the mental hospital in Hawaii looking at charts, and he's doing the process inside himself, who is he talking to? And the way Ho'oponopono describes it is that you're talking to your creator. Now, for some people, that's God. For somebody else, it's the cosmos. You can call it the universe. Dr. Hulen called it the divine. And I like the term the divine. It's a little bit less emotional baggage loaded as God might be for a lot of people. So you're doing this process inside yourself as a kind of prayer, as a kind of petition. You're not saying it out loud to another person. He wasn't walking around saying any of these statements to the inmates there or the nurses or other doctors. He's doing it internally. And he's doing it to this connection to a higher power, to nature. Napoleon Hill called it infinite intelligence.
Right.
To infinite intelligence. And so these statements inside yourself are not saying I'm guilty of anything. It says, I was unconscious. I wasn't even aware I was unconscious. Please forgive me for being a robot here and just walking through my wiring and my pre-programming. Nothing bad, just that this is part of the awakening.
Yeah, you're in that notice. To me, that's the notice and also part of the accepting phase, because you're noticing you're unconscious and yeah. now you're starting to accept the fact you're unconscious. And I'll pull a line here from your book or how I summarize it. It goes, it's about humility and asking for release from the unconscious programs or memories that are playing out. You're not begging for forgiveness, but sincerely requesting from divinity healing and a correction of whatever within you is causing disharmony. Who doesn't want to release old programs that cause suffering, right? Like, but you're not asking somebody else. You're just having a little prayer inside of yourself.
Right. To your higher power, whatever that happens to be for you. It's important that we go really deep here and realize that when you are saying these statements to your higher power, you are surrendering your concept of limitation and your concept of victimhood. You are surrendering to a higher power, asking you to clean up the beliefs that were causing the situation. Now, when I say causing, I'm moving into law of attraction world a little bit and the world of the movie, The Secret, a little bit, and pointing out, and I said this in one of my early books, The Attractor Factor, until you get the lesson of an experience, you will most likely keep repeating it.
All right. That's important because I often share, and I'm again, learning from the teacher. So what Joe's just saying here, everything is basically a replication. The story may look a little different, but the experience is very similar, shame or guilt or not good enough. And you keep having replication until you heal it. And then I've heard it, I don't know if it was in the Course of Miracles, but all over reaction is an age regression, meaning when you really get triggered and people look at it and say, this is really not congruent. Your reaction is not congruent. You can pretty much know that this is from probably before age 12.
Right.
And so I, again, loving this. And as you said it, you're going to keep repeating this until you heal it. So again, if you deny it, if you dismiss it, I'll deal with it later. I'm just going to ignore it. In this, what we're learning is you don't get that opportunity to ignore it. It's going to show up again. And maybe right now it's tapping you on the shoulder. Hello. But if you ignore it, you may get a good hammer over the head or worse. So maybe take care of it while it's a snowflake versus an avalanche.
Yeah, I think whatever is coming up for people is part of the awakening. Yeah. I really think as a humankind right now at this point in the world, we are all going in the direction of an awakening. And the awakening is fulfilling our divinity. It's realizing we are the ones creating, and we need the tools to help us, in Ho'oponopono terms, get clear, to delete, to cleanse ourselves of those limitations that prevent us from experiencing the miracle of right now.
And for those looking for peace, you know, there's so many teachers of consciousness, there's so many tools out there. But what just popped in my head, if somebody really wanted to have this peace, really get proficient and practice that manifestation and getting rid of this, call it baggage, so you can have more flow and receptivity, Joe has written over 80 books. He's got a movie out. If you just sat, read his books and treated like a PhD, you know, I think you would see some people having some amazing awakening experiences. Just wanted to put that out there. Next step, the thank you. I love this because this reminds me of gratitude. This takes me beyond space and time. They often say gratitude puts you into a state of receptivity. Can you elaborate on the step in this process called thank you? And what's the meaning and any tools around that that you can share?
Yeah, thank you is one of my all-time favorite phrases. I wrote a book called The Secret Prayer, and I had done a lot of research, reading lots of books that had been published, you know, two centuries ago, including modern ones all on prayer. And the bottom line was the most powerful prayer is two words, thank you. Instead of begging for something, if we stop and acknowledge what we've already got and what we've been given and how we're living, the only two words to say as a prayer is thank you. In Ho'oponopono, we are also saying thank you for resolving our trigger. Whatever the beliefs are, the perception are, whatever the story was, wherever that came from, that was creating the situation that triggered us, the person or event, that triggered us, we are thanking divinity, if you will, for taking care of it, for making it right, for healing us. So it's a thank you for the cleansing. It's a thank you for the healing. Now, I don't stop there. I mean, I've been doing Ho'oponopono for 25 years at this point. I'm doing it right now as the background voice in my own head to help me be as present as possible in this moment. And thank you is there because I'm realizing that we take so much for granted. The fact that I can sit here, I'm in my 70s, I'm breathing, I'm thinking, my eyes are working, my heart is working, my lungs are working. I'm not doing anything to make that consciously happen. I'm not paying anybody to make that happen. It's very automatic. And if I don't pause to say thank you, I am blind to one of the greatest gifts. And it's the same thing. You and I are in chairs right now. We're not floating off into space because gravity is holding us down. And oxygen is coming in. I'm not piping it in. I'm not paying for it. Where is this life force that is keeping me alive and keeping you alive? Then we can move into things like technology. You're wherever you are, and I'm in Northern California at this point, and we're using this high-tech stuff to be able to communicate present time. This is miraculous. I mean, this is freaking miraculous. People often talk about how kings and queens have lived in the past. I swear to God, somebody living in an apartment or an efficiency that has running water and air conditioning or heat, they're living better than kings and queens of the past.
Yeah. It reminds me of a comedian. I don't know who it is to give credit to, but when I fly and I do travel a lot, like he says, every time you know, people on the plane, you know, it's leaving late. I don't have my nuts. And he says, every time you get on the plane, he's like, holy effing, hold on to the chair. Like, this is amazing.
Yeah, he says you are in a living room chair flying across the country. You know, you're going 3,000 miles, depending on where you're going.
Yeah, at crazy speeds. And it's not like a rocket where you're going to. Yeah, no. So again, change of perception. With the thank you, and thank you, Dr. Joe Vitale, for this, because I'll share a metaphor that's powerful for me. You're welcome to share this with others. Look, if you bite an apple, do you think you're going to die from it? Like, or do you trust your body's going to digest it? And they go, I trust my body's going to digest it. Now, you, Eagle Lauren, has to pick up the apple, and I have to bite and chew the apple. That's the ego's job. But the digestion and the metabolism of the apple, I'm not saying, okay, Dr. Joe, we need to pause. I got to release some enzymes in my mouth. I'm not saying I can't go on a bike ride. I gotta release acid in my stomach. That's happening behind the scenes. With regardless of ego, Lauren, I can even be asleep, unconscious. It's happening. My autonomic nervous system, my higher self is doing all this. So I pick up the apple, I bite and chew, and I trust all that other stuff, the metabolism, the digestion of the apple is going to happen. Mm-hmm. When we do conscious work, or the
Ho'oponopono.
But this is the thank you. Is, hey, if I can take responsibility, I'm sorry. If I can, please forgive me to my higher self. So realizing, hey, I want to release this, accept myself for the person who's gone unconscious, accept myself for the person who thinks and feels this way. And thank you, because I know that if I can make it unconscious conscious, and if I can get into a state of surrender and acceptance, it's not Lauren Brown that's letting, this is my understanding. Lauren Eagle Brown is not releasing the program. It's my higher self. It's my witness conscious. It's doing the metabolism and digestion of these old programs or these uncomfortable feelings. It's doing it. Yeah. I'm involved. Yeah. Lauren Brown ego has to pick up the apple and bite and chew. Then everything else is taken care of. I have to use, I'm sorry, forgive me, thank you, I love you. I have to use the process, bring in some tools. I call it, I have to notice it and I have to observe the feeling. I have to come alongside it. That's all I have to do. Trusting that behind the scenes, it will get released, which is what I experienced for myself and my patients. That's what I get from thank you. Trust the process.
That's a beautiful explanation. I absolutely love that. And I hadn't thought about the terms of I'm the one who picks up the apple. It's almost like here's Joe. Joe has an intent. He wants an apple. He picks it up. After that, everything's a process done by other than Joe.
Yeah. Well, I get a thumbs up from Dr. Joe.
Get a thumbs up on that. Very, very good.
All right. The last step is probably the most important step. And it's one I'd like to hear more. Now, I see behind you, for those that aren't watching on YouTube, because it is a podcast, it is on YouTube, but most people listen. Joe has actually some pretty cool books that I have read. But and also he has a sign that says, you are loved. Mm. And then my friend who's passed this year, Bill Bankston, I've interviewed him on, he's done a lot of work on energy healing. And I interviewed him many times on healing and his research. And I kept on asking why and how come why. And then one day at the very end, he said, it's because of love that he couldn't go. And I go, and he couldn't go further than that. But that was how he, you know, I kept on asking why. And this step is called I love you. And so I'd love to hear your take on this for me and our audience about what does that mean? I love you.
Well, as you clearly know, and probably everybody that pays attention to you, Love is the most powerful force. Love is probably the best description of what we're calling God or the divine or the cosmos or the universe. And I love you are probably the three most powerful words any of us can say out loud or internally. I've actually said numerous times over the last few decades that if you just use this one line and then use all four lines in Ho'oponopono, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, but you just pluck this one line, I love you, and just used it, you would change your life and the planet's direction forever. Because you can easily imagine that if you are inside yourself saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, it's your new mantra, I love you, I love you, I love you. First of all, your own self-worth is going to change. Second of all, you're going to walk differently. You're going to emit an energy that's different that everybody's going to respond to. Even though you're not looking at somebody saying, I love you out loud, you are looking at somebody and saying it internally. They feel something from that. In Ho'oponopono, we're saying, I love you to the very force that gave us the process, that gave us the life, that gave us the clearing, the cleaning, and the healing. We're saying, I love you as a way to acknowledge this divine force, to thank this divine force, to stay in the flow of the divine force, and to move into the very wording itself, a holographic feeling, whole body experience of love. All of that in three words. I love you is the single most powerful transformational mantra any of us can say or think.
And it's not necessarily Hollywood love. You're not talking love, right? Romantic love.
Yeah.
You're talking about a different kind of love. And again, I always share that I think of myself. So here's one of my beliefs. I know it's a belief. I think of myself as a kind of a left brain guy. I always want to believe, and obviously look at what I'm doing, interviewing people, but my ego self loves to understand. I really enjoy the intellectual understanding of concepts. And so for me, acceptance, when you can accept yourself, the person who feels guilty, that's a form of self-love. So there's a version of love. Like if I can just accept that I'm the person who had this thought, has this thought, then one of my local psychologists here, attachment therapist, he's written a book, he's well-known, Dr. Gordon Neufeld, he said something which is powerful as a practitioner, as a human being, to provide this for an individual. He says, when somebody feels seen and heard, so truly feeling seen and heard by somebody, it equals feeling loved. It doesn't mean when you hear somebody, actively listen. It doesn't mean you like what they say, and it doesn't mean you agree with what they say. However, letting them know you get, they think and see it or feel it that way, something happens to the other individual. Why? Because they feel seen and heard. And Neufeld says, and when you feel seen and heard, you feel loved. So there's that energy of love. And when you do this for yourself, the ho-ho process of, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. When you do this for yourself, you do inner child work, you are seeing and hearing that part of yourself, which is activating the love vibration. That's my take on that. What do you think, Joe?
Oh, that's precise. That's beautiful. That's precise and priceless. I love the work that you're doing. You know, you and I don't know each other and we didn't speak before this. And I'm learning about you and your way of looking at things and how you work with people and your philosophies. And I'm very, very impressed. I'm saying this because I know people are listening and I'm acknowledging you for what you're doing. I'm grateful that you've given me the time to talk about Ho'oponopono. Those four phrases, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I have seen, by God, miracles in the 2.5 decades since the book first came out. I wrote 3 follow-up books to that. Then, of course, the movie Zero Limits is coming out this in the summer of this year, and it'll go on Amazon and Netflix later. So you have given me a bit of a platform with your audience, but I want to just applaud you to your audience and acknowledge to your audience that you're doing amazing work. I'm very, very genuinely impressed.
Dr. Joe Vitale, that means a lot coming from you. So thank you very much for sharing that. To wrap up, I have a question from one of my patients who I love and respect because he's doing the work like crazy. And so when we get together in clinic, it's always interesting to see what he's studying and learning. And wow. I told him I was interviewing you and he said, can you ask Dr. Joe Vitale these 2 questions? Because he's struggling with this right now. He wanted to know whether I am manifesting what will ultimately serve my higher purpose. To elaborate, he says, how do I know, like, he's really big into manifestation, but he wants to know, like, how do I know whether what I'm manifesting is really what I want, my higher self, my I or my big I or little I, my ego or my higher self. So that was his question. How do I know if I'm on the right track?
Well, first of all, whatever the track is, it's the right track. And whatever you're manifesting, the big self, the divine self, is wanting to experience it through you. So I would not put judgment on it. I would accept it as what's coming through as for my next divine assignment and divine manifestation. When we're trying to look at something and we say, oh, this is good or this is bad or this is lower self or this is higher self, it's actually a spiritual ego game that is keeping us deluded. We're still in the overthinking, judgmental, putting everything into departments kind of a situation, and we're not accepting the divinity and the miracle of life as it is. So that's a long answer to basically say it's all divine.
All right. Excellent. One more time here. The four steps are, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. The book is Zero Limits. Then there's a follow-up book called Zero Limits Living?
No, that's the last book. Zero Limits came out around 2006. That's the one you're talking about. 10 years after it, I wrote a book called At Zero. Okay. And it's worth reading because I went through a whole lot of surprising and shocking experiences because of bringing Ho'oponopono to the world. So the follow-up book was At Zero. Then I wrote a book called The Fifth Phrase. We've been talking about the four phrases. At one point, 15 years later, I was divinely inspired with a fifth phrase and wrote the book, The Fifth Phrase. Then, as I keep growing and learning and awakening and erasing things in me and expanding my consciousness, I wrote the most recent book, which is called Zero Limits Living. Those are books. And then the movie is called Zero Limits. And people can watch the trailer and get info at ZeroLimitsMovie.com.
ZeroLimitsMovie.com. So everybody check out the show notes. And what about a website too? Like one place where they can go, where they can find your Facebook, Instagram, find your book list, find your movie list. Is there a place where we can send them where then they can go find out all your resources?
Yeah, thank you for that. It's a great question. I'm very active on Instagram. You can follow me there, Dr. Joe Vitale, Dr. Joe Vitale. And I think a website is probably joevitale.com, joevitale.com, joevitale.com.
And for those that prefer movies over books, I suggest both, but zerolimitsmovie.com. Check that out so you can see the movie and then get the book. You know what I do is I buy the book on audio always, my first for any book, mm-hmm. audio, because I don't have a cash flow problem. I have a time flow problem.
Right, right.
So when I drive and walk is when I do all my listening. Anytime, you know, I just listen constantly to books. And then, like your book, I'm holding it up to everybody to the screen here. After listening or after a chapter or two into it, I'm like, okay, then I buy it in hard copy because I treat it like, you know, like I said, a PhD program. I sit there and I underline, I study, I review. And I now have to find you because I collect books signed by authors that I have met. And so now I got to, and now I'm like sitting there, like, you know, sometimes I'll, if you're speaking somewhere, you know, usually they sell the books at the place, but I'll bring my copies. But I don't think coming from Canada, traveling to wherever you are, 80 books probably would take me over the luggage limit. So I'll have to buy a few at your next thing. Oh, and that's the other thing is, you know, for all my Canadian, I'm Canadian, all my Canadian listeners and friends, we got step one down. I'm sorry. Like, it's just, we got that one. Like we invented that.
Very funny. Very good.
All right, everybody. A big thank you to Dr. Joe Vitale. A thank you to our friend, Dr. Peta Stapleton. Again, yes. Peta, thank you. And check out her podcast episode. And please check out in the show notes, links to Joe's website and his movie and his Instagram. Joe, thank you very much for your time today.
That was awesome. Very in-depth. That was one of the best interviews in terms of dismantling and explaining the four phrases. This is like a college level course. This was great.
Thank you. Well, thanks for writing the book. Thanks for everything you do. And thanks to the divine for, you know, this podcast is I'm having so much fun. Like I never would have thought I'd get to talk to you. Right. And so here I am.
I greatly loved it. Godspeed to you and your listeners. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's A-C-U-Balance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and AccuBalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious, and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.